Welcome to Service Desk.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kim. How are you tonight, Andrew?
I am doing well, now that I figured out that my microphone is working, but my Facebook, what we used to record with, was just muted. So that was a fun little panic, thinking that I lost my headset.
Yeah, that would not have been conducive to recording tonight.
No, it wouldn't have been. And I mean, headsets aren't the most expensive part of a computer, but it's like, you know, $80-$100, you know, for a good gaming headset that I use. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It even has a fancy nylon cord.
Nice braided one.
Exactly. I don't know what that means. It just feels nice, you know.
I like it better than a plastic cord because I've broken plastic casings on a cord before.
Yeah, you know, I suppose I can kind of agree with that. Plus, plastic seems to pinch a lot easier.
And then it's no longer reliable. It might work. It might not. You don't know.
So. Well, I got some kind of interesting news to bring up, and I wanted to ask your opinion on it.
Okay.
So, recently, and I think you can listen to this podcast at in any year, and this is going to be relevant.
Okay.
California's on fire.
Well, you're probably not wrong, but yes, it is very on fire right now. Yes.
Something kind of big happened that's spurring a lot of discussion, where the fire departments that were out there, specifically the county fire, is being, the Santa Clara County.
Okay.
They were out there fighting it, and their unlimited data plan from Verizon started getting throttled down to 1/200th speed. So this isn't even like, oh, we're just going to throttle you and, you know, decrease your speeds, you know, down a little bit. This is, we're going to throttle you to the point where
it's not usable. You
can't even like load a Wikipedia page article, really.
No, like that speed won't even send an email. That's ridiculous.
No. Yeah. So the conversation's being kind of thrown up there that back when they were talking about all this throttling and, you know, seeing if providers should be able to do stuff like this, one of the big arguments was they should because they need to give priority to emergency services.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And now this is happening. Verizon did respond later with all the backlash, saying that it's been their policy that in times of emergency, they don't throttle.
Okay.
And so this is a customer service failure on their part. But the question arises, why should it even be like a subjective thing where putting aside whether throttling is good for consumers or not?
Right.
Why are emergency services, which are using these utilities, I'm not going to not call them a utility because that's what they are.
Well, that's what the taxes say when you get your bill. Yeah.
So you can kind of tell what, you know, I'm on, what side I'm on. But should our emergency services as a whole be subjected to some of these throttling and maybe more regulatory and money-making business ventures?
No, but from a Verizon point of view, I can see it being difficult to differentiate between plans because I can't imagine, I don't know, you'd have to set up a completely separate almost database just for these are our emergency people. Don't ever, ever throttle them or otherwise degrade their service. In fact, put their service above everybody else's. If there's a tower down and you can only support 5 phones, support emergency service phone.
And I have nothing to back this up, but I really feel like something like this has to exist because the amount of like just billing alone, being able to separate out, you know, the different accounts.
Okay.
I think it'd be really easy. I mean, just thinking about it like as an IT guy with our, you know, Active Directory, you can easily throw things into containers.
It's true.
And apply policies based on that.
Right. Yeah. And when I was working with a location that had cell phones provided to them under a education type thing. It was through Verizon, and Verizon had a whole different like team of people that handled government and education as opposed to like just your average Joe. So I don't know if maybe Verizon just got the wrong customer service. Maybe they called the wrong phone number when the firemen were trying to get this fixed. But like, why? That frustrates me.
Yeah. So that's just been the big kind of, I suppose, tech thing in the news recently. So
interesting. Well, yeah. Here's hoping Verizon gets their act together and realizes that no, firemen need this. Thanks.
True. Oh, speaking of fire,
there's a box that might be on fire? No, that's not where you were going.
Your transition was way better than mine was going to be. Wow. Yes, let's go with that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What does that fox say?
Yes, so the fox that's on fire is a way to get to the internet.
Today, our topic is internet browsers.
Yes.
And yes, we are kind of excited to talk about this because I am myself, because that's one of the biggest things I get asked as an IT guy.
Oh, yeah.
Is what browsers should I use? What makes them different? What are the different, you know, strengths and weaknesses each?
Exactly. And so many times we don't have the answer just because there's so many different uses.
And not only that, there's so many different preferences as well. Mm-hmm. Some people want different things, and the different browsers kind of handle out there.
Yeah.
But let's just start kind of basic. So an internet browser is a software program that allows you to access websites and other resources if you want to dive into it a little deeper.
Yeah. So back in the day, the very, very first internet browser back in, I think, 1990, it was way back when, was actually just called World Wide Web. And they later changed that to Nexus because World Wide Web was also what we referred to the internet as a whole as back in the day. And it literally just like took you to news groups where you could post text. Like pictures were almost unheard of because nobody had the bandwidth to pull down pictures. And so it was all text. It was very, I would say, programmer centric because nothing was pretty. It was very functional. Well,
and it was basically made to be used by academics and researchers.
Yeah.
Like the average person looking up recipes for kitten-shaped muffins didn't really even exist.
Oh, no. And the average person wouldn't have had a computer or a connection to the internet to even begin to do these things. So it just wasn't a thing for the home user. And then as it evolved, we got into some of your bigger names like Netscape Navigator is probably the biggest that no longer exists. And there was a gajillion in between. I'm not going to get into all of it because we'd be here all night long. But then Internet Explorer actually came out in 1995. I was really shocked that Internet Explorer existed back in 1995. So it's already celebrated its 20th birthday.
I feel old.
Right? So Internet Explorer's been around since 1995. Opera's been around since 1996. And Safari came in at 2003. And Firefox hit in 2004. And Chrome was here at 2008. So these things have been around. Chrome is definitely the newest of the bunch. But it's kind of crazy to think about how old some of these
things are. So when you're thinking about some of the more modern ones.
Right.
You know, it's kind of, I don't really miss them. It is sad to see things like Netscape Navigator and AOL really aren't around a lot anymore.
No.
But there's reasons they fell apart. They weren't the best. They didn't stay up to trend. What you see nowadays, though, are some of the big heavy hitters pretty much are going to be Chrome, which is the vast majority of the market.
Yes.
Firefox, Safari, and then IE/Edge.
I thought the most interesting thing was, like, if you go to W3 schools and look at the internet browsers that are used, it actually goes by mobile versus what you use, and like Google Chrome on mobile far surpasses everything.
Yeah, it dominates everything.
And like I got to thinking, like I guess I really do most of my browsing like on my phone. Like if somebody is just like, hey, what's this thing? I pull out my phone. I don't go to my computer anymore.
And that's where the whole question is kind of tough to answer when someone says, what is the best internet browser? Is that it really comes down to your uses and your preferences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So from my experience, on your computer, on your desktop, I think Firefox is usually considered to be the fastest in tests. And it's also considered to be one of the more privacy-centric ones. It's kind of run by a group of people that are very privacy-focused, and they try and keep it lean. So Firefox has always kind of been my IT geeky, I don't know, fan favorite, I suppose.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Firefox over the years, but
yeah,
my main problem with it right now is, okay, so we're going to dive into more geekiness. HTML is the language that most websites, at least at the base, are written in. And from there, you build into other languages. And Firefox does fine with HTML. HTML5 is the new standard, and it does a lot of things that previously you had to have things plugged into your browser, which sounds bizarre. But things like Java and Flash and Silverlight were things that you had to have installed on top of your browser to make video and certain kinds of forms and such function to be able to do whatever you were trying to do. And Firefox and HTML5, at least for a while, I haven't used it in a bit, but for a while there, they just were not getting along. And it was really frustrating.
I guess I hadn't really used it in recent years, just because I had fallen aside to using Chrome.
Yes.
But I can see how that would be.
And like I said, it's probably been a couple years since I've used Firefox.
Yeah.
But they're also struggling to keep up with the rapidly changing standards for some of the security layers, which this is even deeper into nerdiness. But on the back end of your computer, we started off with some basic security. It's called SSL. And when you go to a website, this secure socket layer was something that's supposed to help protect your information. So it kind of like encrypts it from one side to the other. And I know I'm not explaining this 100%, so please yell at me in the comments. But that helped to keep us secure, but it's easily crackable now because we have some supercomputers that can like figure everything out in seconds. So we're now up to TLS, which I don't remember what that stands for. Do you know?
I don't, but I have a wonderful tool.
Transport Security Layer.
Oh, you beat me to
it. There we go. I just remembered. Anyway, so it's like a whole nother layer of protection, which in our increasingly everything's online, we're putting out our information all over the place. It's super important to have these security measures, and it just has to be there.
And like, does Firefox not handle those very well, or?
They've been slower to update them. And especially, like, it's just the nature of the corporation, because it's basically like a, it's not freeware, open source?
It's kind of open source. They're from what I understand, a private company, but they try and be transparent with everything, and they have a community of developers or users that help build the system. So, yes. So continuing on with that then, so
I diverge. Sorry.
No, you're fine. A lot of people I know, they kind of, you know, Firefox is their first love. And then once kind of mobile phones came out, you said it best that the Google Chrome operating system, the Google Chrome browser really seems to work well with the phones.
Yeah, it does.
As the majority of the market share.
Even iOS, I find that I preferred Chrome to the built-in Safari.
And personally, I think that was really smart on Google's end, was to really hammer that, you know, marketing, the use of Chrome on phone. Because once you start using a browser on your phone, it's only natural that when you do go to your computer, you want to continue using the same thing.
And Chrome does the beautiful thing of letting you log into the browser. Mm-hmm. And so all of your favorites, all of your, even your history goes between phone to your browser on your window, on your computer, which is super duper handy.
I could even set it up if I wanted to have it so any tabs I have open on my computer are tabs that I would have open on my phone. Like it syncs even that far. So yeah, even on desktop, I believe Chrome has a pretty large market share, if not the majority. Is that right?
According to the W3Schools.com, for the month of July in 2018, they had 80.1%. That's so, both mobile and desktop. Yeah. But
I mean, like, still, that's a significant amount of the market.
And so along with that, part of the other thing when we don't quite know what to recommend for browsers to use, we're going to default probably to Chrome because as a web developer, you look at these statistics and you go, okay, Chrome's got 80% of the market share. Edge and Internet Explorer have 3.5%. Firefox has about 11, Safari is 2.7, and then Opera is like 1.5. So it's really low. So if you're looking at how to best please everybody with your website or your app or what have you, you're going to aim for the 80%. It makes sense.
It would be like a Midwest burger restaurant deciding to cook burgers with squid meat because they've heard someone in the town likes squid meat.
That is so... Yep. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
So as a developer, you're going to spend your energy developing and building out your website, your content for the people that are going to see it the most.
And I've worked with companies that... That's all they do. They won't even touch Firefox and Safari because as long as they cover 80% of the people and they can just say, oh, just use Chrome. Like, don't worry about those other ones. Just use Chrome across your industry and people will do it because it's some important piece of software. So they're just going to change to make it
exactly.
work. Exactly. Which is what really frustrates the crap out of me when people make it work in Internet Explorer. Ugh! Sorry.
You digress.
I'm doing that a lot tonight.
That's all right. Continuing on with Safari, that's kind of...
Safari would be Apple's version of Internet Explorer.
Apple, yeah, exactly. It's their home built. It's made to run on their devices. If you have, like, a MacBook, I would suggest either just using Safari or using Chrome. Like you
and
said,
even then,
when you were on Chrome iOS, yeah, Chrome you liked better.
I did personally, but I'm also an Android girl at heart, and I was forced to take an iPhone because that's what was provided for me, and I wasn't about to look a gift horse in the mouth.
I do know that with Apple, they have a lot of really cool integration software programs and abilities between Safari, your iPhone, and your MacBooks and all that. So if it's you want to get into that ecosystem and play around with it, use it. I would suggest if you're new to it, and then maybe look into Chrome if it's just not something that you're interested in.
One thing I did enjoy about this is kind of neither here nor there, but with an Apple ecosystem, like your text messages and your messaging on your computer were the same. And
I really want that to be a huge thing with Android, and
it's just not going to
be. So far, it hasn't really been, because for the longest time, Microsoft tried to compete with Google, and you know, on the operating system and phone front. And I think you would need to have a marriage between Microsoft and Google, or have some sort of a business agreement. Otherwise, you're not going to have a seamless thing like you just mentioned.
Exactly. Which I really enjoyed that functionality, but at the same time. It was kind of like my Chrome atmosphere was kind of the same way, though. Like, I was on my Chrome on my iPhone and a computer, and it was the same kind of integration, which I loved. Anyway, I don't remember what you were talking about now.
Well, I was basically just going to move over to probably the last ones here. IE and Edge are usually the kind of just... And Microsoft's Safari, it's built into the system. Interestingly enough, due to the kind of hatred of IE and how many people don't like it just because it's bloated, usually slow. There was a lot of security issues for a long time. It just didn't handle displaying things for a long time. They actually retired IE. Did you know that?
Yeah, technically. Yeah. People still use it. Well, I have to use it at work. It drives me nuts.
They're maintaining IE 11 for business development. So for businesses. But for anyone that's like a consumer...
It's gone.
You would be silly to try and use IE because it's not made for you anymore. They made Edge for you.
I have personally used Edge on my home computer. And then there's the weird website that just doesn't work. But if you go to IE, it does. So there's definitely been times when I've been using Edge and I just popped over to open up an Internet Explorer version of the window.
And I think that's kind of just growing pains because of how small Edge is. No one's really focusing a lot on its, you know, development to display it when you make content for the internet.
It's true.
I will say I do think Edge is a speedy little thing for simple websites.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a speedy thing. It has really cool note-taking abilities. So if you have like a Surface tablet,
Oh, yes.
From what I hear, Edge works wonderfully on those because you're able to like draw and take pictures and comment on websites and then send that to someone. So it's really good for collaboration.
That's interesting. But you can't do that with Chrome, huh?
Yeah, and it's built like directly into Edge too, which is pretty nice.
Well, interesting. I'm learning something new. I'm learning a lot of new things.
Yeah, same here.
And there are other small... Oh, Opera. We didn't talk about Opera. I've never used Opera. I know it exists.
Opera is the operating system that I've never used, but I've had like that one friend at each stage in my life that's passionate about it. As far as I know, it's kind of like... I want to say it's more like Firefox or Chrome, but it's just lightweight. I really don't know much about it. I don't know what they try and focus on.
Point being, we have no idea about Opera. So if any of our loyal listeners happen to know about Opera and wish to inform us, we'll do a whole episode with you if you want to come podcast with us.
I know Opera at one point used to be a larger thing than it is now, but now I think it very much is largely phased out. On some of the lists I was looking at, Opera wasn't even mentioned.
Oh,
the smallest ones I saw mentioned were like Sea Monkey.
I've never even heard of Sea Monkey.
Yeah, I hadn't either, but it's apparently larger than Opera now. So I would even say Opera's probably gone the way as like Netscape.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me. It's quite old. But another thing I discovered is there's some open source web browsers that I didn't know existed.
Yeah, these are cool for like just kind of the techie nerdy part of me.
Yeah, so these are the kind of things, when we say open source, that means that the base code that is used to write the program is available for everyone. So if you want to take the code and build your own browser and name it something completely different, there will be an open source, like, just show that you got it from X site and go to town. Basilisk is the newest of these. It was just released last year. I've, again, never heard of anybody using it, but it's one of those things that if you're looking to develop and build better things, having an open source community that's willing to just spend their time tinkering helps a lot. And you can get a lot of really cool things from the open source community, and then it's essentially free.
True. Kind of just, I suppose, closing up to say, so like if you're still walking away from this looking for a recommendation, like Kim said, we're probably going to recommend Chrome just because that's what most people use, but, or that's what most websites are built to display the best in first.
That's true.
Beyond that though, browsers very much are just like shoes, and I love using this analogy for them, and that they're all going to take you to the same place. They're all meant to protect your feet. They're all meant to make you go from point A to point B, but they're all better at different things. So, you know, sandals are good for, you know, hot days and, you know, just slipping on and off. Sneakers are good to get there really fast.
Etc.
Armored, you know, steel-toed boots are there for your protection and safety.
Which those would be the Tor browser in this world. The Tor browser is a site that will help you get on the dark web, which if you are listening to this and don't know what that is, don't worry about it. But it is a browser that will send your information through other, how do you explain it? Mirror sites, almost? Like
it kind of jumps you around a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll make it look like you're coming from a completely different location so that you can't be tracked. It's kind of cool. I've never played with it much. I downloaded it once. It was kind of fun.
I've heard
naughty.
Legitimately from people, like, it's not illegal to have it all, but
no.
The government, I guess, does build a watch list from what I've heard rumor wise of anyone that downloads it. So
that
if you download it, you go, it's not illegal, but you know, people are like, oh, what are you wanting to do with that?
Yeah. Well, because most of the things that you would want to do with it are probably not legal. Like,
even at just the simplest of like torrenting, you know, movies or music.
Yes. Yeah. Or even just, I've heard of people using it as a VPN, kind of like, I just want to watch Netflix from France, whatever. And they use it to pretend they're in France.
Netflix in the UK has Star Trek Discovery. And it haunts me.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Downloading browser.
And Kim is on a watch list.
So if I am suddenly carted away by the government, then I guess you're going to have to learn how to edit real fast, Andrew.
Well, I will definitely reach out to my community and ask for help. And they can reach a hold of us if they're worried about us by reaching us on Twitter at ServiceDeskPod. You had the good opener. I had to follow up with the good closer.
And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/ServiceDeskPodcast. And our website and Gmail address are both ServiceDeskPodcast, well, at gmail.com, obviously.
On all of these, please rate, comment, and share with your friends. Any one of those would be awesome. We would appreciate it.
Yeah. So create a ticket in our system. Send us an email. And we will answer and perhaps create an entire episode based on your question.
Exactly.
Which is what happened. So thank you, Ricardo, for that question.
I am Andrew.
I'm Kim. And we are your techie friends.